Live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, I'm Jim Rome. Quick reminder, whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can.
Live.
I am live. I'm in Southern California. Am in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Here's what we're looking at. L.A. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts coming up in about 20 minutes. Hopefully, UFC president Dana White coming up in about 20 seconds. Hopefully, big fight weekend coming up. So let me reset you on everything else. I still have not gotten to some of the topics I want to get to, including Ben Roethlisberger is banged up. Ben Simmons has made it pretty clear, I'm not playing, I'm not reporting, and nor am I playing for the Sixers. Sixers have made it pretty clear, yeah, we know, Ben, we don't really want you to either. However, we do want to get fair market value, and we can't get that, especially when everybody knows that you're not coming in. And then you got Sixer fan. See, we haven't factored that in yet. You've got the player and his issue with the team and the way he wants to handle the player, but then you've got that third element. There's nothing quite like Philly fan. And if they can't move this guy, and if their feeling is the only way to enhance trade value is to get him in here and get him to play, and we know he's a short-timer, and we know we're looking to move him, Philly fan's not going to handle that very well. Philly fan wants him out already. So, who's got the hammer? Who's got the leverage? How does it play out? I need time to set that whole thing up. That's just kind of a tease and where my thoughts are with that one. Ben Roethlisberger, banged up. Remember all that talk coming into this year about how Ben had leaned out? Leaned out might be a little bit strong as it relates to Ben. But then that's part of Ben's strength, right? His whole career, part of his strength has been his fat. Heft. He's big, dude. He's extremely hard to knock down. He's hard to get down. He's benefited from that. Stand in. Stay in.
Everybody get down.
But then later in his career, and I don't know why it took this long, but he decided finally, all right, you know what? I'm going to lean out. Get a little trimmer. Get a little lighter. Part of the reason for that is he's 39. Part of the reason for that, though, however, is I think that he knew that that offensive line was a total rebuild job. Total rebuild. We're not talking about fixing a bathroom. We're talking about redoing every room in that house. And he knew. And now he's busted up because they have not done a good job of protecting him up front. So I actually am going to defend him on that. So those are two topics that I'm trying to get to, and I might, in fact, get there. In the meantime, 1-800-636-8686. Since I've got Dave Roberts coming up, since this guy himself has been a big topic on the show for quite some time, because I'm efforting Dana White, I will not take this phone call. He hung up. Ira, you had your shot, Ira. Should have held. Ira, you know. How long have you been homeless, listening to this program? You never know when I might break format and go to you. God, I've said this so many times. Just because I'm promoting a guest doesn't mean that guest is going to be where I'm promoting that guest. So if you're on hold, you want to stay on hold because I might break format because there might be this tiny window that I can get you in. That was your window, Ira. You remember windows? Those things that are in homes that you used to have? Just kidding, Ira. See, because you hung up, I will go to the next person in line. Christian in Maine. Christian, what's going on?
Hey, Jimmy, long time no talk. I actually have a real solution for your goose problems. This is for real. I'm a tree farmer up in Maine, and you can go online and you can get a disemboweled crow, and you put that on your lawn. It's plastic. You put it on your lawn, and all the birds around that see it will not come down because they think there is a predator there. They will not do it. Jim, I've been growing trees for a long time, and I've never had problems with birds. So I'm telling you right there, go online, get that. And, hey, War Irie Craig putting styrofoam peanuts in his ear for earbuds.
All right, Christian, thank you very much. Now, he says he's a tree farmer, and to get, quote, a disemboweled crow and put them on the lawn, and that the geese will not mess with that because they don't want to mess with a predator. All right, here's my response to that. I've had bird problems, fowl problems at a number of my homes, and I've tried things like this, all right? When I lived in the 818, I had a nice home, and I had balconies on the second floor of that home in the front of the house. Bird crap. Man, I mean, just a bad, bad deal. Bad deal. So I would get these owls, these plastic owls, because, quote, they're supposed to scare the pigeons. All they did was crap all over the owl. In fact, it's almost like a reason to go or a reason to crap. They doubled their output. And not only did they just wreck the balcony over and over again, but they were crapping right on the owls. That was not a deterrent. Then I moved down to the 949. Had a pretty little swimming pool. Ducks found the swimming pool. And they would just post up and do their thing. And, you know, it's kind of cute at first because, hey, look at that. Got some little duckies swimming in my pool. Until they start crapping all over the place, too. Because they're walking around on the concrete and then they're in the pool. So somebody said to me, hey, you know what you do? Get these alligator heads. They're plastic. They float. They look like alligators. They won't go. I go in there one day. There's a duck swimming around with one of the alligator heads. If I'm not mistaken, there was a duck actually like sitting on the alligator head. That didn't work. So now you're telling me if I get a disemboweled crow, if I drop him down there, the geese won't mess with him. Let me tell you something. These birds are smarter than that. They know. They know. They talk to each other. They probably go to the True Value hardware store and they watch people go in and come out with that crap. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yeah, I know. Hey, you're right, Rome. A shotgun would. That to me is not an option. A gun. A gun. A car, maybe.
A car.
The best idea I've heard so far as it relates to me and my life and my family and my brand and my personal approach. A wire. Like fishing wire. A wire. Then it's not ideal. Peter, don't at me, Peter. Don't come for me. It's not ideal, but I think they know they can't get over the wire. So they know not to mess with the wire or those spinning pinwheels. For some reason, that's a deterrent. I just got to find a way to keep them off my lawn without doing any damage to the bird. Although the bird is doing great damage to my property. And by the way, God, you suck me into this. I don't really care as much right now because I'm not there. I'm there in the summertime. So it's when I'm there and I see it and I step in the crap that it's an issue. But it doesn't bother me now because I'm not there. All right, as promised, I found my guy. He is UFC president. He is a friend of the program. Big, big card this weekend. UFC 266, Volkanovski, Ortega, live from Vegas, Saturday night, exclusively on ESPN Plus. Pay-per-view. This is where I watch it. He is Dana White. Dana, really quickly before we get to the card, how you doing, Dana? How is your life right about now, and how you feeling on Wednesday of fight week?
I feel good. Everything's good, buddy. Always have to deal with some problems here and there, but everything's been pretty good.
Yeah, exactly, which let me get to one of them, and maybe it's a problem, maybe it's not. The card, Dana, is loaded. Normally, I would start at the very top with the championship fights, but I got to start with Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler. It's a five-round rematch of a fight, Dana, that took place 17 years ago. There's always excitement when there's a Diaz fight, and now there's news, and I don't know if this is one of the problems you're talking about, but Diaz wants the fight at 185 instead of 170. Where do things stand with that right now?
Yeah, it's good. So Robbie Lawler flew in last night. He obviously wasn't happy about it, but Robbie's a gamer. Robbie's a fighter, man, and he's going to do it. So those guys will fight on Saturday night at 185 pounds.
All right, so you're going to find a way to make that work. In your mind, how much does that change things for both of them?
I think it makes it a better fight, to be honest with you. Like you said, 17 years ago, this fight happened. These guys are a lot older. And cutting down to that 170 pounds, takes a lot out of you. These guys are going to come in fresh. Neither one of them are going to have to cut.
Dana, what do you expect? I mean, do you have any idea what to expect from Nick? It has been 6 years since he's been inside a UFC octagon. Any idea what to expect from him when he gets there?
And by the way, Robbie Lawler landed in Vegas at 82. I don't know what to expect from Nick Diaz. You know, the one thing that I do know, you know, I don't know what he's got left or up, but, you know, he and his brother are fighters, man. These guys, there's going to be, listen, the BS isn't done. There's more coming this week. And the one thing that I do know is that they'll show up on Saturday and they'll fight.
I love these guys. I absolutely love these guys. I don't have to do business with them like you do, Dana. I can see where some days are probably better than other days. But, man, there's something else. I mean, what's it say about both these guys that 17 years later, they're still looking to fight each other? I understand that this is what fighters do, but 17 years later, they still want to fight. What's that say about both of them?
Yeah, listen, I mean, it doesn't even need to be said about either one of these guys. Nick Diaz and Robbie Lawler are two of the baddest dudes to ever participate in combat sports.
Dana, one last thought about the two of them. Like, what do you remember? They met at UFC 47. That was a Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell card. What do you remember about that first fight?
First of all, Robbie was coming in with a lot of hype at that time. You know, Nick Diaz was known, but not known as like he is today. And that was one of the defining fights in both of their careers. And you know what's crazy about Robbie Lawler? I can't remember. I found that kid when he was either 18 or 19 years old, and I liked him. I thought he had potential. He ended up becoming a world champion, and he's still fighting in the UFC today. Pretty crazy.
That is amazing. Dana White joining us. So, Dana, if that card only had a Diaz fight, it'd be worth the money. But in addition to that, you've got Volkanovski defending his featherweight belt against Brian Ortega. After they coached against each other on The Ultimate Fighter, what is your sense as to what each guy thinks of the other guy?
Yeah, I think that when you do a stint on The Ultimate Fighter, you know, you already don't like the guy that you're fighting, or you don't love him. He's not your best friend. Then, as you're with him day in and day out, they start to get on your nerves. And by the time the end of the season is over, you just can't wait to punch the other guy in the face. So, I think that's exactly what happened with Volkanovski and Ortega. And either way, with or without The Ultimate Fighter, these are two of the best guys in the world. And I expect this fight to be an absolute war.
Dana White's joining us. To that point, Dana, Volkanovski has got a 19-fight winning streak, 19, and has back-to-back wins over Max Holloway, where he won the belt and then defended it. So does he get the respect that he deserves, or does he still have more to prove?
Yeah, it's one of those things for a guy like Volkanovski, because the Holloway fights were so close, and, people thinking that, oh, Holloway won that fight or whatever the thing is. You know, he's just going to have to keep picking guys off. You know, when he gets to Holloway twice, if he beats Brian Ortega, then you've got Yair Rodriguez coming. I mean, after a while, it's like Kamaru Usman. In my opinion right now, Kamaru Usman is the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. All right? I mean, if you look at what this guy has accomplished, beat Masvidal twice, Gilbert Burns, Colby Covington, Tyron Woodley, Rafael Dos Anjos, Damian Maia, Leon Edwards. You know, he's finally starting to get the credit he deserves and the respect. He's without a doubt the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. I think Volkanovski is probably going to have to take that same route.
I appreciate those thoughts on that. Dana White joining us. What about Valentina Shevchenko looking for her sixth straight title defense after she won at UFC 261? You described her performance as being, quote, like a bleeping demon. What did she show you back in April that made you feel that way?
Yeah. First of all, this girl is one of the greatest female fighters of all time. I mean, her and Amanda Nunes have fought twice, you know, and she's going up a weight class to take on Amanda. You could say two weight classes, because Amanda has the 45-pound championship, too. Right now, her and Amanda Nunes are the baddest women to ever walk the face of the earth. And I'm excited to see, you know, Lauren Murphy's been on a roll. And, she's got 8 wins by knockout and 1 via submission. You know, for women at that weight to knock other women out, it's very tough to do. Lauren Murphy has done it, so we'll see what she can do against, yes, this absolute savage Valentina Shevchenko.
Yes, yeah, to that point, Dana, like, I really respect Lauren Murphy, but to that point about Shevchenko, like, is she, in a way, as great as she is she maybe the most underrated superstar you've seen in the game?
100%. You're absolutely right, Jim.
Dana White joining us. Dana Connor. I talked quite a bit about Conor McGregor today, man. I
know where this is going.
No, dude, I loved it yesterday, Dana. You know, there's sometimes, you know how it is. I'm probably, I will not speak for you. I will speak for me. There have been days where Conor McGregor was my favorite human being ever. There were days where I've been like, Conor, man, what the hell are you doing? Yesterday was one of the good days with Conor, man. I thought he was awesome from start to finish. What's your sense, though, as his next move as a fighter?
Well, let me start here. You know how many times I've been asked to throw out a first pitch somewhere and I'll never do it, ever? You know, just like all the guys that think they can fight, guys think they can go out and throw a baseball to home plate. It's a lot harder than it looks. You know, this kid's got to heal up. I don't know how fast that leg is going to recover. And it's basically going to be all about when can he start kicking again. And more importantly, when can he start taking kicks again. That will determine when he fights again.
Dana, to the point, I don't know for you, I don't want you to think that I had a different take on it. I thought that first pitch was great. I loved what he did. My point is, if the guy hits the glove, nobody gives a damn, nobody talks about it. But because he threw it out of the stadium, he went viral, he got his retweets, everybody's talking about it, it was brilliant. And to your point, I have done it, man. It is much harder than it looks.
Absolutely.
It is much harder than it looks. Let me ask you this. You're a boxing fan from way back in the day. I know you love that sport still yet. However, what do you make of celebrity boxing events? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the sport?
I don't think it's good or bad for the sport. I don't think it's either. I think that there's always going to be a market for that. There's always going to be, you know, a couple years ago when Justin Bieber called out Tom Cruise, everybody was asking me about that. I mean, imagine if Justin Bieber really fought Tom Cruise. It would be the biggest pay-per-view of all time. There's always going to be a market.
Obviously, Jake Paul has figured out this formula, exactly what you're talking about. And, of course, he's been talking about you. A few weeks back, he said, quote, "I think it ends with me running into him in a club in Vegas and knocking him the bleep out," end of quote. Dana, you saw that. What is your reaction to that?
Yeah, my reaction was, it makes sense. I'm 52 years old, right in the age demographic of guys he likes to fight. Washed up 52-year-olds. It absolutely makes sense.
Dana White joining us. All right, UFC 266 is going to be a big one. It's live from Vegas. It is Saturday night. It is exclusively on ESPN pay-per-view. You've got Nick Diaz fighting. You've got Volkanovski and Ortega. It's going to be a great one. Dana, so good to have you back, man. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy.
Dana White. Because, of course, he wants to fight me. I'm right there in his demographic. I'm 52. I'm washed up. That's who he fights. Dana's the best. When we come back, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts joins us. If you're like most people, you're probably more than a little concerned about the state of the world around us today. Strange times, the stock market, all-time highs almost every single day, U.S. debt. Never higher than right now. The dollar is losing their value. Let's not forget about inflation. The highest since 08. So what do you do to protect your money? What do you do to protect your retirement and your savings? Well, a lot of people like you and me are turning to Old Faithful to protect ourselves during these difficult times. What am I talking about? Real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group. The kind that you can actually hold in your hands and have in your IRA. There is no better time than the present to protect your future and the future of your family. What you want to do is call the Oxford Gold Group right now, 833-899-GOLD. They will send you their free guide on investing in gold and silver. They'll answer all your questions. Protect your money before things get even worse out there. Call Oxford Gold at 833-899-GOLD. Oxford is here to help you protect your savings and your retirement, 833-899-GOLD.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
This is what you get with a legacy program. A couple of legacy guys back to back. We had UFC president Dana White, and now I'm joined by the manager of the LA Dodgers. Sixth season with the Dodgers. 2016 NL Manager of the Year. Led the Dodgers to the seventh World Series in club history last season. Led the Dodgers to 3 NL pennants and 5 divisional titles in 5 seasons as manager. He was a World Series champion as a player. Now, what a year it's been. L.A. is a game out of first in the West. They're in Colorado this evening. Dave Roberts is my guest. Dave, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, what's happening? I'm doing well. Just hanging out in the great town of Denver. Got good weather and ready to play a ball game tonight.
I love it, and I appreciate you doing it, too. So you're coming off an extra innings win, Dave, in Colorado last night. Albert Pujols came up as a pinch hitter in the top of the 10th to single and drive in the eventual game winner. I mean, there's nothing, Dave, in this game you haven't seen, but I've got to ask, what was that moment like for you as a manager last night?
You know what? I think it was really special, and I alluded afterwards. There might have been a beer shower ensuing after that game with Albert. This guy is first ballot Hall of Famer, and to be essentially a role player for the Dodgers and embrace it. And so for me, I got to admit, I pull extra hard for him because I just want him to have those extra moments. And Lord knows he's had great moments. But I'll tell you right now, getting a hit to win a game, I think that it's one of the highlights of in a long time for him. And he's even said that he's having more fun than he's had in quite some time.
I think that's cool. Dave Roberts is joining us. Really cool. So, I mean, to that point, like, you could tell the respect and the love that he's already gotten from his teammates. Like, so what has he brought to the team, not just in terms of production, but in terms of team chemistry and being a good teammate? What's it like having him around?
I think a little bit. I think for me it's going to sound a little different, but it's humility. You know, when a guy comes into your clubhouse, I think the first tendency is to be a little standoffish and be respectful of a player like Albert, but he's he made the first move to all of our guys, our coaches, and showed a willingness to teach and help. And I think that right there, guys understood that, man, you can have that softness, that humility, and still be a savage as a ball player.
We're talking to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. So you and the Giants are locked in that epic battle for first. Last night, the Giants rallied from three down. They beat the Padres. They stay in first. Dave, what's it like to be in the middle of this particular race? Are you doing a lot of scoreboard watching, or do you try and actually not look at the scoreboard?
Yeah, you know, I'm guilty of scoreboard watching. I'll tell you this, is that they've played a lot of games. We played at the same time, and yesterday we were ahead of them, so I got to make a point not to watch it in real time because I got to watch the end of the game, and it was painful watching that game. So you do, and Romy, I think that's part of being in a pennant race. You know, you work hard to put yourself in a pennant race, so part of the joy is kind of watching, but you can't, you know, you still got to be focused on the job at hand, and that's control what you can control.
Dodgers manager Dave Roberts is joining us. They've got a game this evening. So the team went out and made that big move to bring in Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, both actually. What did that say, Dave, about the drive and vision of the organization to make a move like that and have those two guys brought to the team?
Yeah, it shows the willingness to do anything. And that's from Mark Walter, our owner, to Andrew Friedman, who's probably one of the most competitive guys I've ever been around. And you know, so if there's a deal to be had to make our club better, he's going to do it. And then you get two superstars and Max Scherzer, who obviously the line score shows how incredible he's been. But he's been just impactful in the clubhouse. And Trey Turner, what he can do, there's nothing on a baseball field he can't do. So, yeah, we got 11, 12 games left, Romy. It's going to be fun, but I love our guys.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting what you said about Friedman. For instance, like you were a high-level athlete. You manage high-level athletes. You've been around athletics and, like, elite athletes your whole life. What about the business side of things? Generally, guys who get to that high level are very driven, ambitious, they're bright. But you just called him one of the most competitive guys you've ever been around. Is that unusual to see a guy in that position that competitive?
You know, I think I don't know, because I know that Theo Epstein is another guy that I've been around, and he's super competitive and great at what he does, obviously. And Andrew is, and I think what it is that as a player, you have a certain lens where you kind of equate competitiveness to people that perform, play on the field. But then as a manager, you have a lot more dealings with people in the front office and owners, and you realize those guys are just as competitive as the players themselves, but they just have a different skill set and it doesn't show through. But when Andrew makes a move like this or is grinding, you know, endlessly hours on making our roster better, that's compete.
I like that. Dave Roberts joining us. Of course, you got Max Scherzer. We know he's going to compete. There's that funny story. Funny story, Dave, from early in his time with the team that you learned not to touch him during a start. Like, how would you describe this guy's approach to preparation and then the focus and intensity that he has when he is pitching?
Well, just to kind of, allude to that story, it's like I pride myself on communication with our players, but I obviously didn't get a memo that when he's pitching, you don't touch him. So as I patted him on the behind a few times coming down the steps in New York, then under his breath is, don't effing touch me. And then so the players are dying laughing, and he's like, I don't need to get rewarded or patted on the blot or on the butt or lauded or encouraged. This is my job. This is what I'm doing. We'll shake hands after, and then we're great. And so that was a lot of fun for me and an eye-opener for me. But as far as your question, this guy, Romy, checks every box. He's prepared with the infield guys, the catchers, the pitching coach, the outfield guys. He knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows how to navigate a lineup. And the intensity that this guy has, you know, I've seen Clayton Kershaw for 6 years, and this guy is competitive, as fiery, as prepared, if not more than Clayton, which speaks volumes.
Yeah, that speaks volumes. I'm so glad you reset that story. That is such a hilarious story. Dave Roberts joining me for a few more moments. They've got a game coming up shortly. You mentioned Clayton Kershaw. He went 5 innings, Dave, on Sunday. He got his first win since June. How has he looked to you since his return from the elbow inflammation?
He looks great. He's still building up. I think the thing is that people want to kind of gravitate initially and give that lazy look to just velocity. And so it's not going to be 2 and 3, but I think the command is still there. The slider, which made him a Hall of Famer, is still there. The curveball, he's using a little bit more. So I think right now I love where he's at. We're going to build him up against Arizona to 6 innings. And I look at our staff as 4 aces. You know, you've got Scherzer, Buehler, Urias, and Kershaw. So it's the best staff in baseball. Now we got to go out there and play.
I said, Dave, not only am I going to keep you for one more question, but I'm going to ask you about you. You've always avoided credit. Recently you said, quote, it takes a whole army to get this thing moving forward in the right direction. There's a lot of people that should be very proud. And to quote, well, that is correct. It does take an entire army. You're the guy in the front. You're the guy calling the shots. You're the guy who takes the heat if things do not go well. And things have gone really well. But again, you're the guy when things don't go well. What have the last 6 years been like for you?
Really a lot of growing. I really say that seriously. I think that in this job, you can't, you've always got to evolve because you have to realize it's always about the player. And Romy, you kind of alluded to it. It's like I've learned to not take things personal. There's a lot of criticisms and from fans, media, and that's part of it. That's what makes the game great, and you want that. But I think early on, it kind of hit a little bit deeper. But now, if I trust, you know, the people that are around me, the players and the decision making that I make, you know, you can handle a lot better. But I think that I'm always trying to get better and learn. And, you know, I've learned a lot from Max and Trey in a short period of time, as well as, you know, Justin Turner and different guys that we have. So it's been a lot of fun. But I think growth probably is the main thing for me, my main takeaway.
I absolutely love that response. Really quickly, like what have you learned from those guys that you just mentioned? What have they taught you?
You know, I just think that sometimes where you've got to listen to the player, as far as I haven't played since 2008. So the grind that these guys go through, the rest and recovery, the I don't feel good, but I need to play because the visual of me in the lineup is going to help our ball club win a ball game, or I might not have my best stuff, but you got to trust me to go that extra inning, or just the communication that we've had with each other has allowed me to make better decisions. And I think that's kind of the biggest win for me, is that the trust that we have between player coach.
And then one last thing, Justin Turner looks like a million, right? He has leaned out. He's obviously committed to nutrition and diet. What's that been like for you to see him like that, the commitment that he made, and then how does that translate between the lines for him?
You know what? I have a unique fondness and relation with Justin, and he's an aging player, but he's a baseball player, you know, and he takes really good care of himself. He's eating right. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever been around on a baseball diamond, and he just has that unique ability, Romy, and this is probably the biggest thing that I love, is that him and Courtney, his wife, the Justin Turner Red Turn 2 Foundation, he has that ability to do in the community and put as much work into the community and the fans and the people as he does in the batting cage or taking grounders, and he's just that guy that gets it. And so when you see a professional athlete that gets it, that's why I kind of always go to the forefront and pull for him, but he's one of my favorites.
I like that quite a bit. He was a World Series champion as a player, World Series champion as a manager. The Dodgers right there in the battle once again. Dave Roberts, my guest. Dave, appreciate you so much. Thank you very much for doing that. Have a great week. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Romy. Take care of yourself.
You too, Dave. Dave Roberts joining us. Finding time to get on the program before a 5:40 Pacific game. Appreciate you, Skip. Dave Roberts, jungle favorite. I don't play favorites. Dave Roberts is one of my favorite, not only favorite managers, not only favorite people in sports, one of my favorite human beings. I love Dave Roberts. I'll say it for the record. Yeah, Rome, the only reason you had this take on him is because you love the guy. Well, yes and no. Yes, I love him, but that's not why I've had whatever take I've ever had on him. Because I am objective. And if it needs to be said and there's any criticism, I will have it. I generally don't have any criticism of Dave Roberts. You know why? He won a world championship as a player. He won a world championship as a manager. He was the manager of the year in 2016. He's led the team to 3 NL pennants and 5 divisional titles in 5 years. This is why I generally do not criticize him. He's really freaking good at his job. But then for some of you, it's not good enough. And I'll tell you another reason why I appreciate him and don't criticize him. That answer, the response he gave to the question, that, yeah, early on, that criticism that I heard would affect me. It would bother me. But I've learned not to let it, because that's part of the gig. Great to have him back. When we come back, the Ask the Pros. I'm the pro. You ask the question. It's not too late. Hey, clones. All beef jerky is not the same. Oh, Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Here is your... For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. Backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches, call or click Grainger.com. Stop on by. All right, so it's Wednesday, time for the ATP. And you know that's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. A quick word on the ATP. I like this segment. Like, the beef segment is just a murderer's row. That is such a good segment. But it's once a week, and it's coming from a place of, you know, to quote Conor McGregor, straight venom and power. ATP is just a question. You know, it's not a beef or a take. So you don't have quite that venom. But it's a really good segment. Because there's a few people that are really good at it, and they understand it. And they understand that there's kind of like a nuance to it. So I want to thank those that are really good at it. Bella B is very good at it. Brent in PC is very good at it. You want to try and break into that exclusive crew. This guy's trying to. Poncho Vanilla. Poncho tweets, the XR4Ti is named after an Ioniq car that you once owned. What kind of sleds do you and the fam drive now? Does Logs have a Jake hand-me-down, or did he get his own ride to drive to high school? Thanks, amigo.
Rogan Logue.
Great question. Rogues. Logues.
Rogan Logue.
All right, so the fact of the matter is Jake's a very lucky kid, by the way, man. If I could be anybody other than me, I'd be Jake. Honestly. And if I could be anybody other than Jake, I'd be Logues. Like, I wish I could be my kid. Even more than me. Billy Koch once had a funny line about me as a horse owner. He goes, hey, believe me, man. If you're a horse, you want to be owned by Jim Rome. If I could be anybody other than me, I'd be one of my kids. They got it good. That's BK. So the reason I say that, we bought Jake a new car. And I was kind of a little bit ambivalent about that because you want them to strive. You want them to grind. My first car was not a new car. In fact, I'm surprised, Bella, you haven't hit me with that. What was your first car? My first car was a piece of crap. That's what my first car was. My first car was a 1967 Mustang. What a nightmare. You think the XR4 Ti Miracore was a nightmare? The 67 Mustang was a nightmare. Anyway, but I learned a lot of lessons. You know, I just learned a lot of lessons driving a piece of crap. So I wasn't sure that I wanted to buy our son a brand new car. But my message to Jake Rome was, you've busted your ass. You're about the right things. You're a really good kid. You got a good heart. You got a good head. You work hard. You treat people well. You know right from wrong. You got into a good college. I'm going to help set you up to start your life. Here is your car. Your car. You're on your own. You know, aside from college, which I'm taking care of too, but I'm not buying you another car. Take care of this car. This one's got to last you until you buy your own car. So we send him to college. He does not take the car to college. No need. So the car is in the garage right now. Does Logs get the hand-me-down? Great question. Because theoretically, it's Jake's car. Here's the problem. I don't know about the rest of you. And again, to preface this, I hate to age myself. When I turned 16, man, everybody I knew at 15 and a half got their trainer's permit. All we cared about in life was to get a car or get a license to borrow the parents' keys. Kids today, man, they're not like that. Like Logs, he's in no rush whatsoever. And then again, why wouldn't he be? He's got us as his chauffeur. Or he's got a ride share that we sometimes let him use. Like, we had to make the kid study for the test. Like, he doesn't care. Logan probably would get to 35 without getting his license if he could. So I don't need to worry about him having a car. He barely wants a license. Hi, Jim. What were some of the rejected names for Logan? Well, all of mine, for one, Bella. Everyone that I wanted to name him was rejected. Because as I've told you before, I named Jake, so Janet said, I get to name Logan. I said, fair enough, go right ahead. But then all her names were horrible. No offense, if your name is Tristan. So Tristan was rejected. Every name that sounded like Tristan, because back in that year, go back 16 years, look up baby names from 16 years ago. They were all like Tristan. Anything that sounded like Tristan. I'm like, no, no, let's make this easy, man. Short, punchy, strong names. Nick, Max, Jack, Jake, Tristan. No offense, Tristan. I've told you, like Logan, I think, didn't have a name until he was 9 because we couldn't agree on anything. And one day Janet spits out Logan. I'm like, yes, yes, that's it. Tristan. James Kelly goes, Garrett. Hey, don't worry, man. Ritt's not working. Or is he? We're down a man. We're down a person. Jimmo's. Does Logan rock a gold chain when he's on the bump? Brent in PC. Great question, Brent. See, Brent's good at it. No, he does not. You know, it's interesting. So Janet runs the Baseball Foundation or organization or whatever it is she does. God, I hope she's not listening right now. Anyway, she's in charge of that. Our high school plays her high school. Jano is exceptionally proud of the fact that she went to Long Beach Poly. Long Beach Poly has sent more players to the NFL than any high school in the country, I believe. Janet was classmates with Tony Gwynn, not to age her. Janet ran track and played volleyball at Poly. She's fiercely proud of her Long Beach roots. So I said to her last night, who are you going to root for? I know you're president of the foundation and your kid plays for this school, but you went to Poly. You know you love Poly. You're like 3 generations of Poly in your family. Who are you rooting for tonight? She didn't think that was funny. I'm like, I don't mean it to be funny. Who are you rooting for tonight? Poly or Uni? Jaime, since you have the lake house in Wisco, does that not qualify Jake for in-state tuition? Hey, dude, don't be wrecking my takes with facts or good points. I think you got a point there. I don't know. I'd have to check with my business manager. I don't know. Probably. Maybe. Stop ruining my takes, dude. Leave it to Steve and SA to come up with that, too. Steve would know that. He's a rich guy. Hey, Steve, why don't you just flash more pictures of your luxury sleds in your country estate and stop asking me about my finances. No, that's actually a fair question. Hi, Jim. Where is your next vacation spot? Campy Wisco. Bella. Man, she's good.
I love when you talk hockey.
She's good. She's right. Because you know what she's saying? She knows I don't have a vacation until the end of the year, and I'm sure it's all not going to Wisco. Yeah, but then again, how do you know that, Bella? Remember, for years we went to Montana in December. How do you know I won't go there? Mexico, if we travel. But I may go staycation. Jimmo's. Did you play bocce ball with David August when he was at your house? Brent in PC. Bravo. Well done. See what I mean? There are two people that are really good at that segment. Brent and Bella. That is a great question. No, David August and I did not play bocce ball for two reasons. One, I will never play bocce ball. So why did you build the court, Rome? Was it a field? Was it a pitch? I don't know. It sounded like a good idea. You ever do something where you commit to it where at the time it sounds like a good idea? Bocce ball sounded like a good idea until I saw it and I had no interest. So no, the answer is no. And no, David August, he moves, man, fast. He works hard and fast, and he was out of there. And there is your ATP. See what I mean? Good segment, good content. Thank you, Brent. Thank you, Poncho. And thank you, Bella. Huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service. From the professional parts people that you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. It's a good day. My thanks to Dana White, Dave Roberts, Rex Hoggard. You clones did a great job today. Good job. Well done. Look for episode 190 of the Jim Rome podcast with Dante Whitner. We're going to push that out later on. See you then.